are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, like we said, from the time a young man can walk, his aim, it seems, is just to win, to lead, and to provide and conquer, right? But what happens when the weight of those expectations begins to crush the young man? For many men, success is not a dream. It becomes more of a demand, right? And then failure is not a lesson. It becomes a label of shame. And so today we want to talk about the silent pressure cooker of modern manhood. And we want to talk about how emotions can be suppressed and vulnerability can be mocked sometimes, and how oftentimes a man's worth is measured by his bank account or by his titles and all these worldly standards. So Pastor Bonya joins us on the line to guide us through this conversation and how a young man can actually define success according to God's standards rather than the world. My Pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning to you.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us this morning, Pastor. Who defines success for men today? And do you think it's a definition that's even worth chasing at all?
And sometimes I'll say that it's peer pressure. I would say that social media, basically, that's a big thing that is shaping young people's concept of living and stuff like that.
Social media, I can definitely see that, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And they emulate when people keep on posting things, young people are posting things and say, see me, and things like that. It exerts a bit of pressure on the young people. That's one of the things that it's, maybe there are other things, but I'm saying in the first place, once media is coming in place, yeah.
Do you think it's a definition that's worth chasing, that whatever it is that the world says?
No. In fact, there is for young people to find a way of reappropriating so that they know that there's something of more value than that. Well, than what seems to be defined as defined their success. Back to take a few steps back. They need to be helped to take one or two steps backwards so that they can do that a little more differently than what is presented on a daily basis through social media and other media.
Right. Now, how does societal pressure to, quote unquote, man up, how does that pressure damage mental health and relationships for men?
It does damage relationships because sometimes I say that there are no models to model young people in terms of how they order their lives. It becomes a little obtuse. Mm-hmm. I won't be able to tell really how, because maybe there's no something that has been done before. But I would say that when there is no order to show them which way to take, it becomes a problem. For instance, if there is a home that is up
there, so there's something happening with our line, and the line keeps breaking up. We can't hear you very clearly. Keeps cutting in and out.
Okay. Maybe let me try another device. I think to transfer.
All right. So we're having this conversation. The pastor has spoken about the fact that sometimes it's social media. In fact, oftentimes it would tend to be social media that starts to define what success looks like. And that can be a challenge for young men. And of course, the fact that that's not something that's worth chasing after. Let's hope our line is clearer this time around. All right, Pastor, you were just about to speak to us about, how the societal pressure to man up can damage mental health and relationships.
Yes. We're talking about the social pressure that is on the young people. Yes, right. Yeah, so I was saying that even without necessarily responding to this question at this point in time, but I'll say that one of the challenges sometimes that is becoming a problem is the fact that there are some places where young people have no models. So what is modeling them is what they see, is what they hear, what they observe, what they watch, other than the ideal. For instance, I gave an example where we have got places and homes and situations where the father is absent, either by default or by accident, and there is no one to guide. The father, in other maybe societies, may not be very important, but I believe in the heart of my heart that fathers are very important. And when father don't do what they're supposed to do, young people really are ready by default or by accident to begin moving in another direction. But fathers are very important. Fathers are very important, yeah.
Sure. And can a man be successful by God's standards and still look like a failure to the world? In fact, before we get into that question, what would you say is God's standard of success?
God's standard of success is to be where God is. I'll break this one down maybe for a minute, maybe half a minute.
Sure.
I would say that to listen to God's voice, there is a text in the Bible which says that how can a young man order his ways? Mm. How can he move? How can he find direction? Mm. And the answer, the question is kind of rhetorical, but the answer is you can only find direction, you can only find meaning of life by observing God's word. Because the God's word says that the word of God is the lamp to my feet. Mm. So God's word is still ideal. Yeah. God's word is not primitive. It is more than able to guide somebody's life.
Yeah. Mm, beautiful. And so the question then arises, can you be successful by God's standards and still look like a failure to the rest of the world?
No, it is not possible. Okay. I'll tell this one thing. There are others who have thought that to be a Christian or maybe to be religious, mm-hmm. to be godly, to be spiritual mm-hmm. is primitive.
Yes.
But I would refuse to think along those lines, because Christianity or religiosity or to be spiritual does not mean that you're primitive or maybe you're missing things.
Yeah.
Because we have seen examples in God's holy word where people were kings and they were statesmen.
Yes.
They were rich and they still worship God. They still love God. People who are so rich, like Abraham.
Yes.
Abraham, the patriarch, he had all things. He had all the wealth that he needed at that time, even more mm-hmm. that he had. But he still loved God. Wherever he went, he put an altar. Mm-hmm. He put an altar mm-hmm. and he worshipped. And all his family members and his servants and his workers, they worshipped with him wherever he went. So to be godly, to be spiritual, does not necessarily remove anything from you. You can still stand out in the world as a worshiper of God, but at the same time, very successful in life, in business and other things. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. And it's I don't know where that thought even comes from. I don't know if it's because religion is an old, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe it's because of something that has come from so long ago, but I don't understand how it has turned into this thing where people believe religion means automatically it's just attached to struggle, it's attached to failure, it's attached to mediocrity, and yet we know that God has called us to a higher standard.
Yeah, but also sometimes I would say that we would not blame the young people too much, but also it's the way we have presented religion to be. For instance, we'll spend the whole night praying and the whole Sabbath praying and maybe the whole Sunday praying and every day praying.
Mm.
But when it comes to the duties of every day, for instance, God expects us to work every single day, to work every day,
right.
The amount of work that we're, the amount of hours we're supposed to put in.
Sure.
And if we expect a miracle to just happen, we are doing nothing, and we expect religion to take the place of work, then becomes a problem.
Sure.
So the way we are presented, because sometimes we think that religion is divorced from good work or from good work ethic.
Yeah.
But if you work nicely, we work and we worship. There's no confusion. It should be okay. But young people don't expect that they're going to find things on the silver platter without putting their hands to work.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think sometimes we're presented that way, that when you are a worshiper, you don't have to do anything, get a job. There's nothing, that don't touch the soil. Don't do other things. Just relax and hope that God is going to bless us. I return my tithe. And because I return my tithe, God is going to give me. No. I think sometimes you have also gone the other direction, and maybe young people get confused a little bit sometimes.
Sure. All right.
Yeah.
Now, Pastor, why do men struggle to admit that they're tired, that they're afraid, or that they're lost? Why does it seem like it's such a difficulty for men to admit when they need help, to reach out when they need assistance?
I think I'm just thinking that probably it's what the society has taught us. For instance, among the, like from a tribe where I come from, I'm Ngun by tribe. I would be vulnerable in that way.
Okay.
We don't cry.
Okay.
We are taught that men should not cry. Men should not show emotions at whatsoever. yet they're broken inside, but at the same time, you're not encouraged actually to express yourself. So sometimes, I do not know in other places, but sometimes culture, where we're coming from, even families where we are, even in the family where we are, boys and girls, sisters and brothers, sometimes the young men are told not to show some characteristics that show weakness or that display weakness and stuff like that. So sometimes there's pressure from the outside that you should not show or that you're broken because you're going to be laughed at and stuff like that. So I would say that it's sometimes what we are grown up with, that's what causes us to be that way. But at the same time also, probably it's how we are made, I think, as men. Mm-hmm. Probably we don't break down very easily because that's who we are. We are meant to be hardwired and stuff like that. I can just imagine that. Mm-hmm. But I've not really thought about that in the past. I would only imagine that probably it's our society that teaches us to be a little stronger, not to display any signs of weakness, and yet we are broken down inside.
Mm-hmm. And that can't be healthy, right? There has to be a way to express pain and emotion. We see Jesus crying when Lazarus died.
Yes, there must be. Yeah, you see, Jesus in John chapter 11, verse 35, the Bible says that Jesus cried. He cried. Yeah. He just showed emotion. He could have chosen to withhold his tears, but he broke just to identify with the sisters that, hey, you know, something was not right. Or something was not right. Yeah. So there must be a way. Really, you're making a point that there must be a way of showing emotions, because by showing emotions, it becomes therapeutic in the process. That's a therapy on its own.
Exactly.
Express it and let people know that, hey, you're broken inside.
Yeah. And of course, especially in the context of this conversation where we're talking about success for young men, I would assume that, you know, the journey to success is one where people need help. You need people to carry you along. Sometimes you're going to fall. You're going to experience failure. You're going to struggle every now and then. And you have to be able to reach out and say, listen, I need help. Or listen, I need a break. Yes. I'm really tired right now. Or whatever it might be to express.
Exactly.
I'm only human.
Very true. And allow me to just say this one quickly. I've seen situations also in a church situation, in a church setting, where young people are there and they are old people. These are professionals and they are well placed in society. Mm-hmm. But you find these young people are not able to express themselves that, hey, my brother or my leader or my uncle, whoever, this is my situation. They don't express it. Mm-hmm. Yet they go to church and they come back, and yet there's maybe help just very close to them, very near them, and they're very close to them. But they don't express it. They don't say it. And these are people who can mentor them. And that kind of thing. And probably also, I think on the flip side, probably young people may not know how to reach out. Probably it's important for the elders or for those who are uncles, those who are the big ones, to be able to say, son, come here. Mm-hmm. What do you do? What do you do? What do you make for a living? What's going on in your life? And let them choose to be vulnerable and things like that. I think we also need to think about the others who can be mentors to them so that they can know how to express themselves. Because if elders keep quiet, they don't tell their stories. If I don't tell my story to anyone, the stories of my failure, of my success, how would a young person be able to be vulnerable also to tell his story? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we hold back. And young people are not able to come in because we keep it to ourselves sometimes, I think.
That's beautiful. I think that's a very important point. Just having those relationships with the older gentlemen who can guide you along the way.
Exactly.
And that vulnerability to be modeled. Especially, like you're saying earlier on, you were talking about how, you know, sometimes the father is not there in the home. And so sometimes the elder at church is the only father that someone might ever, that a young man might be able to have.
So true.
Yeah.
Yes. So true.
Pastor, what would happen if men were raised to pursue purpose over performance, pursuing what God desires for their lives rather than what, for example, social media is telling them that this is what makes a man?
You know, I think it may make a lot of difference, because whatever the world promises sometimes is not sufficient to satisfy the human heart. But if somebody found his ideal, for instance, if you discover that this is my vocation, not my vacation, but my vocation, this is what God has called me to be and to do, this is what I'm supposed to contribute to society, then I'll not worry about chasing everything else, because everything else does not add value
to what God has called me to. I think this is very important, that this is a very important point that you have raised, that it is very important for us to discover our purpose. But I wonder how many young people, how many young ladies and young men are busy chasing everything else. And sometimes it's a symptom, or maybe a sign, that they have not yet discovered who they are, what they are, what they're meant to be in life, what they're supposed to contribute to society. Because when you discover that, then you stop chasing other things, because all your focus is in the same direction. I would say that what would happen then if somebody found the purpose of his life, I think life would become more satisfying. People would stop chasing other things. They'll be more contented. There'll be contentment and more satisfaction in the heart. And probably also I would say that you're not going to begin owing everybody, because you're busy borrowing from everyone, to everyone, trying to impress everyone. So you'll be out of debt, maybe, to an extent. Yeah. Thank
Beautiful. You. Beautiful. Any final words that you'd like to share with the young man out there who might be listening, who's feeling that pressure to succeed, who's feeling like maybe what God has called him to do is not really going to impress the world, it's not going to impress the society around him, just feeling pressure, not knowing how to move forward?
Yeah, I would say that the young people, if it is possible, really, we need to stop, or maybe they need to slow down in terms of impressing the world, because there's no way we can impress the world and be satisfied. There's the best thing we can ever do is to not even to impress God, but just to find what is God, what does God wants me to be. And somebody has said, this is Richard and Henry Blackaby, they say that the best place where we can be is where God is at work. To join God where he's at work, join him there and follow his agenda. When we do that, we're going to be at peace all the time.
Beautiful. Love that. Thank you so much, Pastor. Yeah. I think we can end it there for this morning. God bless you. Thank you for your time. And I hope you have a great day ahead.
Welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.